So, Matthew chapter 6. If you're there. Amen. Yeah. If you're there, say what Ezekiel said.
Amen.
If you're not, I'll wait for you. Ezekiel said amen over there. Yes, he is. Very clear. He's saying Bible very, starting to say Bible very clearly, too. Windy today is windy and slippery. I even wear cleats today. So, we'll start it off with verse 9 in Matthew chapter 6. I'll wait. Since Buzz isn't here, the lasagna is called Lisagna. Because Lisa made the lasagna today, so it's not Buzzagna.
So are we in, did you say 9 or did you say 6?
Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Okay. We'll start there. And now I think you all are there, correct, young ladies here? All right. Oh. Having trouble finding it in that? I know, small print. I'll wait. The only place we need to go from here is heaven. No hurry. All right, we're there? Beginning in verse 9, it says, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," verse 10, "your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Verse 11, "give us this day our daily bread." Verse 12, "and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Verse 13, "and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This is the word of the Lord, and he'll most certainly add his abundant blessing and to the reading of his holy truth. You'll notice that on your handout, the back, again, has those hindrances to prayer. So each time we get a handout, I'll have this on the back. So whatever handout you have, you'll have the hindrances to prayer. The basic elements, as we're looking at this series, and it can be parsed other in other ways than this, but we're parsing it for this series. Communion in verse 9. Intercession in verse 10, and supplication or requests in verses 11 through 13. Because even verse 9 has a petition, you know, hallowed be your name. We're asking God, we're making a request of him that his name be holy for us because we are sinners. Now, intercession part 2. Last week we covered Christ's eternal kingdom by your kingdom come. Today we look at Christ's sovereign will, your will be done. And your will be done reminds us of Christ's submission and obedience as a son. And the first place that we would turn there is to the right in John chapter 5, verse 30. And I provided some other, in the parentheses, I provided Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8, and John 8, verse 29. We're not going to turn there, but you can look them up later from your handout. The Gospel of John, turn to the right through Mark and Luke, and stop at John chapter 5 and verse 30. If your Bible's exactly like mine, you'd be on page 1,339. If it's not like mine, you're on your own. I'm off by one page? Oh, I was close. Well, see, we have like Bibles then. Who wants to read that? Chapter 5, verse 30. Brother Wyatt.
"I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me."
Very good. Thank you, brother. Verse 30 in the English Standard Version, Brother Wyatt read it in the King James Version. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So Jesus didn't come down with his own agenda. Everything that he did was by the Father's will. He does say that again in John chapter 8, verse 29, which we won't turn to. And in fact, it was prophesied of the Lord Jesus in Psalm 40, verses 7 to 8. It says, behold, lo, in the volume of the book, it speaks of me. In verse 8, it says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And so he delights to do. He not only does God's will, but he delights to do God's will. And so his submission and obedience as son, that God who became man, the Lord Jesus, he was submissive to his heavenly Father. But also, since we're in John, we'll turn back just a few pages. That's why I made the Christ's surrender and obedience as the only substitute for sin. Luke chapter 22, verses 41 to 44. Luke 22, many of you are familiar with this portion of Scripture as well. So Luke 22, verses 41 through 44. You all there? Who wants to read that? Okay, Brother Cullen. Verses 41 to 44.
Then he withdrew from them. Reading out loud. Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and began to pray. Father, if you're willing to take this cup away from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Being in anguish, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground.
All right, very good. That was New American Standard Bible, right? NASB? Because it's very close to the ESV. English Standard Version has a few word changes in it, but it's very close. And verse 41 says, and he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. Verse 42 saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Verse 43, and there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. Verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. It says, Brother Cullen said fervently, but same thing. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. In the parentheses, I gave you Matthew 26, verses 36 to 42. We're not going to turn there. It's also in Mark. That in Mark and Matthew, it presents that he prayed this prayer three times. Prayed it once, looked at his disciples, they're asleep. Prayed it again, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Here, the Lord Jesus is going to the cross. And for those of you who have been following along with the worship messages the last 2 weeks, and we were looking at godly fear, and then Jesus, it says in Isaiah chapter 11, that he has the spirit of the fear of the Lord upon him. But if he's not afraid of men, he fears not man, and he's perfect, perfectly sinless. How does he work with the fear of the Lord? That I ask you to ponder that, and in a week from Sunday, we'll be covering that. And one of the keys here is Jesus praying this prayer before he goes to the cross. His fear of the Lord right here. But at any rate, notice that in going to the cross, and Jesus knew he was going to the cross from the very beginning of his ministry. You know, he said in John chapter 2, even at the start of his 3.5-year ministry, he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I shall raise it up again. This he spoke of his going to the cross. He kept on saying, I'm going to the cross, I'm going to the cross. And he must pray this prayer, as we know, that as perfect man, for him to just go to the cross without seeking his Father's permission, or in fact, you know, he's the Lord of light and life. He's not going to rush headlong into death. That's exactly what Adam did in the garden. So he needs to not want to die because he's the Lord of life. And he prays this prayer. So we see his submission in that prayer. Your will be done. And because he prayed it three times in the garden, as according to Matthew and Mark, if you could follow me on this, we know for certain that there is no other way to salvation except through Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross, by his praying that three times. Do you follow me on that? By his asking for the Father's permission, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, where he would drink down the wrath of God when he hung upon the cross, and there was no other way except that Jesus go to the cross. So our faith in believing that Jesus suffered and died upon the cross and shed his blood with a spear piercing his side, rising again and ascending into heaven with a promise to come again, believing on that is the only way to salvation. How does this work for us, the saint's submission to our Lord? When we pray, your will be done, it acknowledges and accepts and applies first Christ Jesus as Lord of our leading. Christ Jesus is Lord of our leading. There are those people that say, well, it's by grace. We don't have to make him Lord. Because that would be a work to call Jesus Lord. That's just absolutely ridiculous. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Brother Mike was talking about this a little earlier. Matthew 28, towards the end of the chapter, in verse 18. When we pray, your will be done, we recognize and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and that we submit unto his lordship as Christians. If we're saved, if he has saved us, then he is Lord and that we come under submission to him. Who wants to read Matthew 28, verse 18? Brother Tegan.
Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
Yes. It doesn't say power in the King James Version, does it? Does it? You had a New King James Version. Brother, it does say power? New King James uses the word authority. Brother Wyatt, would you read that in the King James Version?
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Yeah, I used the King James for years and years, so I thought that the word power was there. That's what Brother Mike was talking about. It's translated authority in the New King James Version and in the English Standard Version. In the English Standard Version, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority, not just some authority. All authority is given unto him. He was obedient and did the will of his heavenly Father. Now all authority is given to him. That means that we are under his authority, and therefore he is Lord. So when we pray, your will be done, yeah, we're praying that God's will be done. We're praying the Father's will be done. And since Jesus fulfilled God the Father's will through his fellowship with the Holy Spirit while he walked upon earth, then we want to do Jesus' will. Because he always did the Father's will. So for us to do the Father's will, we do whatever Jesus wants us to do. He is an authority. Christ's cross, we acknowledge, accept, and apply Christ's cross as the power of our pleading. When we say, your will be done, we're saying that the truth of what Christ did on the cross is the reason why we ask for anything. The power of our pleading. Because Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will be done, but thine. Your will be done to the Father. Let this cup pass from me, because I don't want to go to death. I'm the Lord of light and life. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus praying that prayer reminds us that when we pray, your will be done, we're praying through the power of the cross. Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to just turn there real quick because I need to close this up. Or if you want to turn there, that's fine. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. And we won't, since on Sunday school we are studying Hebrews. And when we get to chapter 10, verses 7 through 10, we'll look at it more closely. But Hebrews chapter 7, or 10, verse 7 says, "Then I said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." Verse 8 says, When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law." Verse 9. Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. Verse 10. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I'm not going to go into all the details of it, but what it's saying, just in basic, is that all those sacrifices were only foreshadows of the great sacrifice Jesus would do, and that he delighted to do the Father's will. And by being the sacrifice, he's a greater sacrifice than all the sacrifices offered, because those sacrifices couldn't delight to do God's will. That's just one of the things that are on there. So we have power from that. And finally, Christ's will is the strength of our heeding. I'll just quote Luke 9, verse 23 to you. And Jesus said, "If anyone should come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." So because of the truth of the cross, when we pray, "Your will be done," we find strength for being able to obey, to be able to do exactly what Jesus has done in the spiritual, what Jesus did in the actual by going to the cross. Now, when we are to die to self, as Jesus actually did die to self and laid down his life, we don't have to actually die, but spiritually speaking, we can die to self in Luke 9 and verse 23. Because Jesus went to the cross. So when we're praying, "Your will be done," that's Jesus' will for us. That's the Father's will for us, that we die daily, that we take up his cross as our own personal possession because we believe in him and follow him. And here, I've mentioned that this is intercession, verse 10. And what this right here, being the cross, being the center, Jesus doing the Father's will, this here, by looking at verse 10 and the second part of verse 10 in particular, "Your will be done," is that the essence of intercession is God's will. See, when we think of intercessory prayer or intercession, we often think of praying on behalf of others, right? Because Jesus is the great intercessor. He prays for us. But that's only included in the essence, that in fact, that's the employment, if you will, of intercession or intercessory prayer, because you can't employ it or apply it unless you have the essence of intercession, which is to do God's will. God's will. In other words, Jesus' will. The essence of intercession is God's will. And the strength in surrendering our wills for God's will is sourced in the truth of Christ crucified, risen, ascended, and coming again. It's sourced in the cross for strength to be able to do God's will. But again, the essence of intercession is God's will. If God's will isn't the foundation for your desiring to pray for others, you're praying for, when you pray for others without recognizing that you're grasping on to God's will, your prayer really doesn't matter. See, and we'll look at that next week when we look at Christ's transforming grace when we pray on earth as it is in heaven. We'll see how it's applied that way. But this is what I want you to get today. As far as intercessory prayer, this is the key. Your will be done. Christ's will be done. God's will be done. And the essence of intercession is God's will. That we surrender our will for His will, and therefore we can intercede. So I'm not going to get into next week's. You'll just have to come back next week. Or get the notes if you can't come back, or listen to it in sermon audio.
I'll have to listen to it on sermon audio.
I'm hoping that it recorded, sister. I'm sure it did. I turned everything on. Any questions or comments? All right. So I'm going to turn it over to Brother Mike.